Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
There's a question that's been bugging me for a while now.
How many flies have ever existed?
Crowd Science, the podcast with a thirst for knowledge.
Why do we daydream?
Why is the sea salty?
We'll go and try and speak to some people and find out.
Find it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Hello, I'm Luke Jones. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. In BBC OS Conversations, we bring people together to share their experiences. This time, we hear from women and men in India discussing the issue of women's safety. After the rape and murder of a trainee doctor after a hospital shift, there have been intense protests on the streets. It's put a spotlight, once again, on how women are regarded within Indian society.
If any guy teases you or catcalls you, you are not supposed to do anything. You're just supposed to ignore it, look down and move on. Because if you ever try to like put up a fight or say something, there is a huge chance that they would be violent towards you. So we are taught since childhood to shut up.
It was a crime that shocked people in India and around the world. And just to warn you, this story does contain some upsetting details. On the 9th of August, a 31-year-old trainee doctor had just finished a gruelling 36-hour hospital shift in the city of Kolkata. Due to the lack of a designated rest area, she'd fallen asleep in a seminar room. The next morning, colleagues discovered her half-naked body bearing extensive injuries. She'd been raped and murdered. Since then, tens of thousands of people have been taking part in protests, calling for an end to violence against women in India. They want swift legal action and safer workplaces. Doctors across the country also observed a strike called by the Indian Medical Association, and a small group of men broke into and vandalised the hospital in question. A hospital volunteer has been arrested in connection with the crime, and the Chief Minister for West Bengal has given the investigators just 7 days to solve the crime. But there have been concerns about how the authorities have dealt with the case so far. And it's also brought the conversation back to how safe women feel on a day-to-day basis, either at work or just going about their daily lives. I've been speaking to Arunima, who is from Kolkata, close to the hospital where the doctor was raped and murdered, and Sridhar is from Bhopal, which is in the central Indian state of Madhya Pradesh. And I should warn you again, they do discuss experiences of sexual assault, which some might find difficult to listen to.
It shook me to the core. I wasn't able to sleep at night. I wasn't able to eat properly because that thing always gripped my mind that how could this happen? So it was pretty much unbelievable for me.
Hearing about such incidents, sexual assault and brutality and of violence towards men or even towards women have become far too common, which dulled out my emotions. But that when I, learned about the exact details, like, for example, how brutally battered the victim's body was in the seminar hall of the Ajikar Hospital, or how the police had initially tried to cover it up as a suicide instead of it being a sexual assault, it really turned my emotions from numbness to outrage, just like it did for a lot of people in the country.
Absolutely. These incidences, the reports that came out, especially the autopsy report, it was horrendous. I couldn't even imagine in my wildest dreams that something like this could happen to a resident doctor.
Arunima, you live in the area close to where this awful attack happened. Sridhar, you're hoping to become a medical professional. You just did your medical entrance exam. In your day-to-day life, how safe do you feel?
Actually, I'm quite fortunate enough because I live far, far away from where the incident took place. I'm living in the central part of India, and fortunately, there have been very, very less incidences of such kind of crimes. But, the condition of medical professionals in India is really sickening. I just feel so much frustrated when I talk about doctors in India because doctors are beaten brutally in India. We are not provided with the basic facilities, like we are not given rooms to rest even after a 36-hour shift. We are humans too. We are not machines, We need some kind of assurance from the authorities too. So it really freaks me out that I'm going to step into this field where there is so much carelessness from the authorities' side, from our seniors, If you're stepping into the medical field, it's somewhat like you're going to do it on your own risk. So I don't think that anything is going to even change, even after this incident, because the authorities have tried their best to suppress this incident. Freaks me out so much that I'm going to step into this field. But yet again, I've chosen this field for myself, so I will continue with it.
I am from the city of Kolkata, where RG Kaur Hospital is. And comparatively speaking, Kolkata is considered a safe city. And even if that is, acts like eve-teasing, harassment and molestation are still very, very common. I mean, so this is a bit of a personal experience that I have had. 2 or 3 months back, when I was traveling in a public bus on a weekend, I was heading to my university, actually, and it wasn't really that crowded when I was sitting next to this man who had his daughter with him, who was like maybe like 5 or 6 years old, and was like, she was sitting on his lap. And during that ride, I felt like I was being inappropriately nudged in my upper body region. And at that moment, I still don't know why, but I just froze. And like, I do not know still why I could not at that point of time scream or shout, or but I just felt like my body froze. And
trauma like these are very common, be it maybe you two or be it any women from any part of the world. I think we all have a common issue that we have faced something or the other like this, be it we are in our workplaces.
Exactly. And what was most terrible, that person was a father with his own daughter literally sitting right on his lap. And I couldn't, when I got off the bus, and I could not really believe myself that somebody like that person could really do that. And it just really broke me from within.
Could I end by just asking you both how much fear this all leaves you with? I mean, is it something that is there in your everyday life?
What has happened, it should not happen again at all. For example, every year around Independence Day, which like, you know, happened on 15th of August, people in my friend group and like we, you know, wish each other a happy Independence Day. And then somebody would usually joke that, are we really independent? This is a bit of a lighthearted gag that we have among us, like, you know, a bit of a joke. But this year, when one of my friends wished us happy Independence Day and somebody asked that if we are really independent, it was not a joke anymore, because this was a genuine question that we found ourselves asking. We all went to protest on the streets. We saw women, men, children, even grandmothers in their 80s and 90s protesting outside, because enough is enough.
Arunima in Kolkata and Sridhar from Bhopal, who, as we heard, is hoping to become a doctor. I'm Luke Jones. You're listening to BBC OS Conversations from the BBC World Service.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
What is it like to already be a female doctor working in India? My colleague Lukeza Barak has been speaking to two doctors who are both working in hospitals in Ahmedabad in Gujarat. She wanted to hear their experiences and how they reflect on the incident that happened and the problems within wider society. They are Dr. Tamana Parmar and Dr. Nandini Vaghani.
To be very honest, this crime against women is not very surprising when it comes to India. It is very prevalent. Yes. Every other day we hear about crimes against women, to the point it's become so normal to do victim blaming and victim shaming in India that I was always having this sadness. But then when I got to know that she was a resident who had done 36 hours of duty and she was in her own hospital just trying to get some sleep, some rest. Living as a woman, living as a doctor, we face things every day. It was just horrible. Like, I couldn't even function properly at my duty after that. I couldn't even, like, sleep properly in my night duties, or I couldn't even, like, feel safe for a second.
It is routine. Like, you pick up the newspaper and you get every day the rape case and the murder case, and any assault against a woman are common in India. But about the doctor, we can feel that we are doing night duties. In the day duty also, we are in a threat. Some people are just come in the hospital and they are drunken and we have to treat them. There are many factors, and most of these cases happen in government colleges or government hospitals in India.
I wonder if you could both describe to us how safe you feel at your place of work.
I have worked in government hospitals, and the problem is that every shift or every duty I've had, be it day or night, first of all, there is no good infrastructure to rest or to even take care of ourselves. There will be one doctor's room in amongst a lot of wards. Secondly, how the doctor's room are kept, that's also not very good. The washrooms in our hospitals are not good at all. I've never been able to use them without being scared. Thirdly, the security that we have in our hospitals is really, really less as compared to how it should be. There would be one security guard sitting at the door and he's not even bothered. And there will be patients like just coming and going out. They're not even getting security checked through or of themselves and their body. Even I'm sitting in a ward, I would be outnumbered by the patients there or by the males there. And I would still have to be like put up a strong front and make sure that everything is fine. There's so many times that I wouldn't have had a room to sleep in. Thankfully, I was living closer to my hospital. So I would just go home and sleep and be on call. So I can understand that that poor girl just might have found a seminar room, a common room, and just try to get some sleep there. There are definitely no CCTVs in the hospitals where I've worked. There were doors that could never be locked. The lock would not be working.
There are no safe washroom. There are no safe changing room even. We can't change our scrubs and all the things safely because we have to take care of many things. There are lack of doctor rooms even. There are lack of CCTV camera observation also. Might be one or two camera in the entrance of the department only. They don't care actually that what happening with doctors female. And before one or two day, I was wondering the hospitals, and one of the security was checking all the things of patient. I have asked then why such a security currently, means that it is because of the Independence Day and the threat of terrorist attack. So in the threat of terrorist attack, you can take action. There is this more security in the hospital from 2 days. Why not before?
I can hear you're upset. It's why is independence worth more than your life other days? How do your families feel? I know, Dr. Vagana, you work night shifts, but Dr. Palmer, you don't.
During even my internship when I was graduating, so we used to have a lot of night duties, 48-hour shifts and everything. So the first concern of my parents was, would you be alone, or at what time will you be able to leave from the hospital? And my mom and dad would legit call me before going to sleep, that are you okay? Are you safe? And I would assure them, and then they would go to sleep. And this was even before this incident. And as a girl in India, it's very, very, very normal. In every household, there is a curfew that girls are supposed to be home by 10, 11. So the second the clock strikes 11:30 or way past it, I would get a call from my home that come home ASAP. You're not supposed to be out. It's not safe for you. Whereas my brother would never be questioned that how long were you out, no matter whenever he would come home. It's a norm. We all are used to it now. But after this horror, my parents couldn't sleep for like 3 nights straight up because they were just worried for me. Secondly, my brother, who doesn't even live in India, he's abroad, he was so concerned. And the first thing he did was he ordered a pepper spray. He's calling me to teach me self-defense techniques. He's like, you're supposed to carry this pepper spray. Promise me you're not going to forget it. You're going to keep it in your bag. You're going to do this. So he's preparing me because he's so concerned. So recently, it has become very difficult for my family to let me go for work. And I have a night shift this coming Sunday, and they are so worried. My mother is like, please let me come with you, and my friends are like, let us be there. It's really difficult, and I do really want to put up a strong front. Like, I want to tell to them that don't worry, I'm fine, it's all good. But even I'm scared at the end of the day.
Indian family, if you are going at night somewhere, you should be with some male friend or you should be with your brother. It's normal. And after these incidents, like, I have informed my mother and she is like, she has relief, like, I am not doing night duty.
I want to take you out of your place of work now, away from the hospital, because as you've been saying and as we've been reporting, this isn't just about violence against women or threats of violence, security issues within hospitals. This is about this issue being prevalent across Indian society.
Since generations, this is how we have been taught to live. It has come from our grandmothers, from our mothers, and it's been passed on. First of all, there's a lot of moral policing of the girls, of what we wear. The blame is always put on the clothes. And I like to wear what I want, what looks good on me. But since childhood, there will be some aunt or some uncle or some relative or someone in your society who would tell my mother that, you know, you shouldn't let her wear stuff like this, or you should cover up and go. And even till date, if I'm going to go to some rural areas near my house or some places like that, my mom will make sure that I am covered up or I am wearing some Indian traditional clothes so that I don't attract the wrong attention. Even in my workplace, similarly, we are not supposed to wear some Western clothes or some formal attire. We are supposed to wear this traditional Indian attire so that, and it should be all covered. And they tell it that you should look like a doctor, but it's just moral policing for us. And when I go out, I have always carried a pepper spray because my brother made sure of it. I would have to share my location where I'm going, also actually share my live location if I'm in a taxi or a cab. Then when I go out, if at all any guy Eve teases you or cat calls you, you are not supposed to do anything. You're just supposed to ignore it, look down and move on with it. Why? Because if you ever try to like put up a fight or say something, there is a huge chance that they would get physical or they would actually harm you or they would be violent towards you. So we are taught since childhood to shut up. And I agree that over the years, this has changed. Women are now speaking up. But, you know, there would also be this instance that if our uncle or if some male relative is visiting, the first thing we would be asked is go to your room and change those shorts, put on something which is more covered up.
Yes.
Why should I be worried about my own relative? Because the problem is that the male gaze in India is so horrible and it has been passed down to since generations the same way. So even if they are your relative, they are your loved ones, they are your friends, everyone, still the gaze is so horrible. But we are supposed to change, not them.
Doctors Nandini Vaghani and Tamanna Parmar in Ahmedabad, Gujarat. There is a growing sense of national outrage in India over all of this, similar to the kind of things we saw in 2012 when the gang rape and murder of a young woman on a bus in Delhi led to protests around the country, which eventually brought in much tougher laws in India on harassment and sexual assault. So let's hear from two Indian men on what they believe are the wider problems that might need solving. Anand Mishra is a college teacher in Jharkhand State, and Dr. Karan Singh Rajpurohit, who we'll hear first, has just graduated from medical school and lives in Jaipur.
The problem relies on the education, first of all. Then the kind of environment they're getting, the kind of influence they're getting from the pornography or other things, really making them so easy to commit this crime without even having a second thought about it. These things should be corrected from the base level, but first of all, that will take so much of time to do that. We can't just think and like implement it and change the mentality of every single person in the country.
Anand, in terms of the education, you're a teacher. How do you think we might go about actually changing how men see women and interact with women?
First, we have to acknowledge the underlying problem. For example, if we read the blogs of foreign female tourists and their experience in India, most of them will mention the problem of constantly being stared at and sometimes even stalked and harassed. Feel that the popular culture or there is a societal problem that there is a lot of objectifying of women in our popular culture, in movies and advertisements. And this is what young men take from media and grow up.
You see that influence of movies and popular culture and things on some of the students that you teach.
Yes, I work in college. Myself was a student. It was not long ago. Their perception of women or the way some of them talk about women was indeed influenced by many movies, especially the movies before 2010s or in 90s, which glorified stalking. For example, movies constantly portray that if boy stalks a woman and gives them unsolicited love letters, the girl will be impressed. Such content has influenced men in such a way that they have forgot the concept of consent and boundaries.
Definitely, I support Anand on it. The basic knowledge about asking for the consent and having a talk, anything, is lacking a lot. No man ever think about it. These things are increasing day by day, and everyone is like protesting after happening it, but no one is like working on the idea that how to stop the culture.
I feel the need of including a whole syllabus and a compulsory curriculum on how to behave around women, how to see them at primary school level, high school level. Also, Indian young men are overly patriotic. So if we make them feel that such type of behavior ruins the image of India internationally, then maybe they will reconsider and think about it and acknowledge the importance of treating women well and ensuring safety for them.
If there is a problem with how many men in India treat women, do you think other men are proactive enough in calling that out?
Some men will call out and intervene immediately. Some will be sad to see this, but won't want to get involved in this. That is the major problem. But many men that will intervene, and we see that the protesters, there are many men there too who are serious and sincere about women's safety in India. But such incidents happen at a closed, isolated place. So very low chances that any third person will be able to know about it.
And that's where comes the security, sense of courage in the night that they can roam around. There is police working for them. There are enough laws if anything happens or anyone will be afraid of doing so. There should be laws about it. There should be a protection act for us.
But isn't the point, Karen, that there are laws already? It is illegal to assault people and rape them and kill them.
It is illegal, but it's not on the extreme way. What is happening on the basic level is people do crime. They will call in the police station. They will settle with some money and the person will be out the second day.
Law enforcement is doing, but there is also corruption, and the judicial process is long and slow in India. Another problem may be victim blaming. For example, if a woman gets harassed, there will be many who will blame it on their clothes, although it has reduced in recent years.
And blaming them even working. Some hospital in Rajasthan also decided to do only the day shifts for the females. What is the benefit of doing it before thinking about the infrastructure and security about them?
My home state, Jharkhand, had once implemented a female-only cabs where drivers were female and passengers will only be female. But it was only for 2 years, I think.
It's 12 years ago now that we had that awful gang rape and murder on a bus in Delhi, which got everyone very angry at what was happening. That seemed like a moment where things might change. It seems like it didn't. Do you think this will be the moment that change happens?
I don't have much hope that these protests will change anything, because this similar in 2012, but not much has changed. Laws were implemented, fast-track courts were established, but still women are unsafe. They still harassed. The most important thing is that we have to raise men of class who will respect women. Parents should teach their children like that, and at school level, education level, about how to look at them with respect. If these things are not done, then no protest is going to change anything.
But I think a protest also is a part of the movement. It gives a pace to what population is thinking, and we can connect with them and make things change.
Dr. Karan Singh, Raj Purohit in Jaipur, and teacher Anand Mishra in Jharkhand State on what needs to be done differently after the crime that India's top court said had shocked the conscience of the nation. I'm Luke Jones. You've been listening to The Documentary from the BBC World Service.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.